There's a story told of Margaret Thatcher during the time she was Prime Minister. She was visiting an old people's home, going from room to room and meeting senior citizens who had lived there a long time. One old lady showed no sign of realising that she was shaking hands with a world-famous politician. "Do you know who I am?" asked Mrs. Thatcher. "No, dear," replied the old lady, "but I should ask the nurse if I were you. She usually knows." Do we know who we are? What is our identity as Christians? That's what we're looking at this morning. In our series, looking at what Jesus has done for us, the grace of God in the gift of Jesus Christ, we've seen that he's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of light, the kingdom where Jesus reigns. He's made us clean. He's forgiven us, washed us from our sins. He's adopted us into his own family, and we are now children of the Most High God, who has become our Father, and we are heirs to a glorious inheritance. And we've looked at some of the hindrances, at some of the things that might stop us accepting this amazing gift that God wants us to have in Jesus. But who am I now that I am a Christian? We realize that we're different, but how precisely? Well, we're different because we're not who we used to be. We have a new identity. Because of what Jesus has done for us, part of the grace of God in the gift of Jesus Christ, he's given us a new identity. As Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And that little sentence is the heart of the most important thing in the Christian life, the fundamental truth that the Bible teaches about the identity of a Christian. This little half verse is hugely significant. I have been crucified with Christ. We know Jesus was crucified. We know that. But here we are told that we were crucified with him. And that's because when we come to faith, we don't just come to know Jesus, we become united to him. We are placed in him, the Bible tells us. And because we are in him, what has happened to him has happened to us. If I put a piece of paper in my Bible, I won't use that one, then whatever happens to the Bible happens to the paper. Right? The paper and the Bible are still a paper and Bible, but because the paper is in the Bible, what happens to the one happens to the other. And so it is with us being in Christ. Because when we came to Jesus, God put us into Christ. Then when he died, we died. He conquered the powers of sin and death and evil. And when we died with him, these powers were conquered in our lives too. And when he rose from the dead, we rose with him into a new life. In the Romans passage that Ruth read for us, it says, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I have been crucified with Christ. And the verse goes on to say, and I no longer live. We died with him. The old person we were has gone because we were crucified. But Christ lives in me. He has now come into us to live within us. Within us now, we have the whole life of Christ, his whole incarnate and crucified and resurrected life. And hard as it might be to grasp, difficult as it sometimes is to get our little brains round, that is now our identity, a new identity. An identity that is totally united to Christ. Just as he was raised from the dead, says the letter to Romans, so we may live a new life. We were crucified with him. We no longer live, but he lives in us. How amazing is that? 2 Corinthians tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So our old person, our old identity is gone and we're new, a new creation. And as that new creation, we are no longer dominated by sin. That belonged to the old us, the us that was crucified with Jesus. We've been set free so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, and so we shouldn't be living in that old identity any longer. So we can't any longer say when we mess up, well, that's just what I'm like. I've always had a bad temper. I've always been irritable. I've always been too shy to speak to people. That person's gone. We're a new creation. Because the power of sin over us has been broken, we should reflect that freedom in the way that we live. So sin doesn't need to characterize us because we've died to it with Jesus, and because Jesus' life is now within us. The great preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones gives a picture of two fields. He asks us to consider a picture of a typical British country scene with two fields enclosed by high rock walls. He says every person begins life in one of those fields, in a field that's ruled over by sin and the power of evil. We have no chance of scaling those walls and escaping from that field on our own. But God, in his grace, reaches down and takes us out of that evil and sin-dominated field and sets us in the adjacent field, a field ruled by Christ and by righteousness. A decisive change in our position has taken place. We're in a whole new relationship to sin because we've been taken out of the field where it reigned. I read it described that this experience of union with Christ transcends rational explanation. It's hard to talk about. It's hard to find the words. It's hard, I think, to grasp. I can't explain it, but I know that my life is different from what it was before I became a Christian. Think about St. Paul himself. It's been said that this statement in Galatians is Paul's confession of the power of the cross in his own life. Once he was the most prominent persecutor of Christians that there was. He was a man who was greatly feared by the followers of Jesus because they knew just how much he hated them and how he was determined to kill them. But that was his own life. That was his old life. But he became one of the most important figures in the early church and one of the most important figures in the whole history of Christianity because of his understanding of the great purposes of God, his understanding of what Jesus has done, and because of his writings which bring the word of God to us today. When Jesus met with him, his life was totally changed. He became a completely different person. He had a new identity, and this was his confession, that he was crucified with Christ, and it was no longer him who lived, but Christ who lived in him. It's hard to understand, but God has said that it is so. And I guess that many of us know it in our experience. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand. So let's think about that. As we stand, if we're able to sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So how are we now to live? What does that mean for our day-to-day living? Well, it means we're to live by faith in Jesus Christ. We've been saved by faith in Jesus, and now we are to live by faith in Jesus. By faith in the life of Jesus who lives within us. What does that look like? Well, it looks like constant dependence on him. How can we live a life that honors God? We can't do it by ourselves. We can only do it by faith, by trusting the life of Jesus within us and living in dependence on him. As we live by faith, we have assurance of salvation. Last week, when Alistair spoke about five things that could hold us back from coming to know Christ and his salvation, he said that the Apostle Paul could never get over how much God had done for him. We have that same assurance of salvation. That same sense of awe and wonder and amazing gratitude as we live by faith in Jesus. Tom Wright says, "Who are we then? We are the Messiah's people with his life now at work in us. And since the central thing about him is his loving faithfulness, the central thing about us, the only thing, in fact, that defines us is our own loving faithfulness, the glad response of faith to the God who has sent his Son to die for us. This is the very heart of Christian identity. As we live by faith in him, we live out the life of those who are dead to sin and alive to God. We now have a responsibility to live according to our new identity and not to slip back into the old habits of our old life. In the passage in Romans that we read, it says that we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Counting is arithmetic. It's about indisputable, unarguable facts. 2 + 2 = 4. Here and throughout the world, it has always equaled 4, and it always will. And our being dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus, when we've accepted his forgiveness, is that kind of fact. It's a truth for all eternity. We have to count on it, stand firm on it, not let ourselves be swayed to doubt it. And the Romans 6 passage goes on, therefore, don't let sin reign in you. And the verses 11 to 14 in the Romans passage are translated like this in the Message. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time, remember you've been raised from the dead, into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Our chains have gone. We've been set free. As we live by faith in him, his life is seen in us. In Ephesians, we read that Christ will be more and more at home in our hearts as we trust him. I'm sure you're all familiar with the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These qualities describe Jesus. And so this is a description of the life we now have by faith as he lives in us. Are we facing a situation where we're struggling to have patience? Is there someone we find it hard to treat with kindness and gentleness? Someone we find it hard to love? Are we lacking peace? We are powerless to produce these qualities in ourselves, and it's a waste of time to try. But these are the qualities that Jesus gives us because his life is within us. And so we pray, Lord, may your kindness shine in me. Lord, please give me your love for that difficult person. Lord, may I know your peace. And as we continue to live by faith in his life within us, we are learning to grow in holiness, and we are finding that increasingly his life is seen in us. And as we live by faith in him, we trust his presence and power in every hard place of our lives. Elsewhere in the letter to Romans, we read that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What is it that you are facing in your life today? The Message paraphrases the Romans passage by saying it might be trouble or hard times or hatred or hunger or homelessness or bullying threats or backstabbing, or maybe something entirely different. But whatever trouble you are in, it cannot separate you from the love of Jesus, because his life is within you. As St. Paul says in Romans, and again I'm reading from the Message, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. What's so amazing, I think, is that we have his strength and power within us. We're not reaching out there. We're drawing on his life within us for strength and power, whatever our situation. We live by faith in him. In him who loved us and gave himself for us and who now lives within us. If Jesus went through all that he suffered because of his love for us, we can trust that love every day of our lives. Put our whole faith in him every day as we seek to live for his glory. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Amen.